Today on Dog Pound Report, you've come to the only place with exclusive post-draft interviews with general manager Ray Farmer, head coach Mike Pettine, offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill, and behind the scenes for the first 24 hours with your round one draft picks. Stay tuned for the best Browns draft coverage right here on Dog Pound Report.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our post-draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He's Nathan Zagura. The 2015 draft is in the books. It felt like a great weekend, but as everybody knows, sometimes you got to simmer down just a little bit, and you got to wait 3 years sometimes to see. But what did you think about the Browns this weekend, and where do they stand? Where do you stand?
I thought this was a very good draft, and Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine put their stamp on this team. They're going to build from the inside out, as you saw in the first round. Defensive line, offensive line. They got guys who are captains, guys who are academic All-Americans, guys who are mature, who embody those play-like-a-Brown traits, because ultimately they want to drive competition. You want to drive competition? You draft 12 guys, the most since 2000. That's exactly what they did, and they brought in a lot of high-character guys. They filled needs, and I think they set themselves up also for the future. Smart GMs not only draft for needs today, but needs that you don't even account for yet, and I think they did that in the second and third days. I thought this was a very, very solid draft.
Yeah, solid was the word that I would use to definitely describe this. Give me the best moment, because you were in Chicago. Give me the best moment of the draft, especially because they moved from New York to Chicago. Felt like there was a ton of energy there.
The one moment that I think gave it a little bit of goosebumps city was when Jim Kelly came out and got that standing ovation from the crowd in Chicago. I thought that was one of the more poignant moments of the draft and really kind of told you everything you need to know, that it's not, these guys aren't just football players, they're human beings. With everything he's been through, Kelly Strong, that was a pretty good moment.
All right, let's talk about one other big moment, and it was called the hug heard round the league as defensive lineman Danny Shelton accepted his newly minted Browns jersey from Commissioner Roger Goodell. Take a look at our exclusive interview with the Browns first round draft pick.
Well, I honestly don't know, model my game after anybody. You know, I'm just a big fan. So when I watch film, I'm watching guys who make plays like Ndamukong, Haloti Ngata, and then my style of play, I just, you know, try to outwork everybody. You know, I want to be the guy who's 330 plus, you know, making plays down the sideline. That's just me. Honestly, I didn't realize that, you know, my stats were up to par to be a first round pick until late in the season. Because, I tried to just stay out of, you know, the media, try to stay out of, projections. I keep my mind, you know, leveled and everything, and just wait for the blessing. And, you know, it's a blessing to be here. And this past week was pretty crazy. Just trying to take everything in and realizing that I'm in Chicago for the draft. I got my family here with me. And so it was a great experience. I mean, we did a lot of things. Got to walk around the city and, you know, just be tourists for a little. Walking down a gold carpet, I just looked to my left and there was just Brown fans everywhere, you know. I could feel the dog pound, and it was just a matter of time till they called my name.
The Cleveland Browns select Danny Shelton, defensive tackle, Washington.
Once I got my heard my name called and seen, you know, the commish, you know, I just had to give him a hug and, you know, just express my feelings, you know, express myself.
That was the first ever commissioner lift, I believe.
I remember when they flew me out here, it was a great time because Coach Pett, he's a defensive line guy, and I was excited just to talk to him. Even Coach Weaver, you know, Ray Farmer, great guys. I left Cleveland, you know, so happy, telling my family and friends that, you know, I could see myself playing there. And, you know, honestly, I'm just going to come in ready to work, try to earn that spot. And, it's a blessing to be here and to be able to play with great teammates and to be a part of the Dog Pound and just try and play like a Brown.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nathan, when we've talked over the last month or two about what the Browns are going to do, stop the run, and then you saw Danny Shelton come out of the combine, he fit the mold of what the Browns wanted. And you've said this for months, and I kind of took the tail end on this thing and said, he's the guy they definitely want.
He was the guy that they wanted all along at number 12. He came there. And what I like so much about this kid is when you talk to him, you say, what do you bring to the table? Work ethic, physicality, and toughness. And that's what you need. And you think the AFC North, think a tough division. You need to be able to stop the run. He's going to come in, occupy space, take on two blockers, and he can get to the quarterback on third downs. 9 sacks last year. And not only that, he takes his schoolwork seriously. On the night that he was drafted into the National Football League, he went back to his hotel room to finish an anthropology assignment. He didn't go out and party. That's what he was focused on, academic All-American. I think the Browns got a great kid, great smile, infectious energy, and he is going to play hard for this team.
Yeah, there is no doubt about his energy, and I think everyone's going to love him, especially if you haven't read his story. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the show, but his story is truly spectacular. All right, Cameron Irving was the Browns' second pick of the draft that night on the first night on Thursday. The versatile offensive lineman has already taken with Cleveland and the Browns.
With the 19th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Cameron Irving, guard, Florida State.
It's been a whirlwind of emotions. I've just been excited, ready to see what was next. Last night, it wasn't so much nerve-wracking because, you know, I didn't expect to go, like, early. But, you know, you think about where you're going all the time, whether you want to or not, because it's the next step of your life. You think about, well, okay, he's here, so what if I go here? Or what if I, you know, it's one of those things you can't think about. But what I did well was I didn't dwell on any of those thoughts. You know, I would have thoughts and I would think, and then it would go from, you know, oh, you know, I want to go here. Or, you know, when Kansas City made their pick, you know, I was like, my heart started beating fast. I knew Cleveland had a lot of interest in me. And, you know, I was telling people earlier, you know, I had a little hunch about them, about being here. And, you know, when I got the phone call, man, I was excited. But when I came to the offensive line at Florida State, I watched Joe Thomas, you know. So it's definitely an honor to be able to play with those guys and just be able to learn and, you know, be able to pick their brain a little bit with how the league is and, you know, how things are and how to be successful.
What's up, man? How you doing? Cam, how you doing?
I like the atmosphere of the building, really. It was relaxed, but at the end of the day, you know, it was you could tell everybody was about business, you know. You know, nothing's handed to anyone here, and that's what I like, you know. I like the fact that you have to work and you have to earn everything that you get. You know, they told me while I was here, you know, it was always, you know, you play like a Brown. You play like a Brown, you know. It was just a phrase that I heard on several occasions. And I've always been competitive, and I always wanted to make sure people knew that I deserved to be where I was at. I didn't get a lot of recognition early in my career, and, you know, honestly, I realized that wasn't my personality. I didn't really like it, you know. I'm not saying that it's something that you get when you play football and you're on a high level, but that's not something that I need. All I need is my teammates to know, you know, that we're there for each other and, you know, being a good teammate, being a good player, you know, listening to your coach, being coachable. I mean, that's the big things. And I realize that, you know, everything outside will take care of itself.
All right, interesting conversation with him. I know when the Browns went to that 19th pick, I was going, are they going wide receiver? Are they going wide receiver? Then you take Cam Irving, and you know what I said? Hey, look, Alex Mack went down last year, and now you've got a guy that's versatile on the offensive line and can play multiple positions.
I've been saying for months, I was not a fan of the Browns taking an offensive lineman in the first round, but if they did, there was only one they could take. And it was Cam Irving, for the reason you mentioned, the versatility. This guy won the ACC's award for being the best offensive lineman in the conference as a left tackle, and then he won it as a center. Was an All-American as a left tackle, and then as a center. This guy is incredibly talented and diverse, and he can come in right now. I think he'll come in and compete to be the right guard, compete with John Greco there initially. But as you talked about, good GMs, they draft for need now, but need for the future. And if Alex Mack does opt out, this guy's going to come in, and you've got your center of the future, who's regarded as the best center in this draft class. And I love this pick of Cam Irving. The Browns think they got a top 10 player in this draft.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about what Ray Farmer had to say. You know, he had a lot to prove in his second year as a general manager, and here's how he felt about the first round.
We feel good about the guys that we got. We know we got good football players, and we got better up front. The size and the strength are obvious. I think what people are discounting, the guy's agile and nimble. I mean, he played over 90 snaps in several games, 90-plus tackles, 9 sacks. You see him making plays outside the numbers for a 350-pound man, rare in a lot of instances, so we think we got better. When you watch the tape, you can see his production and his performance. You can see him running, making plays, playing behind the line of scrimmage, and demonstrating that he's capable of making plays in every capacity. Again, another rare feat for a young man that's never played center to take snaps, make calls, and really galvanize and solidify a unit that had some issues in the interior, which is why they moved him. And inevitably, you got to showcase more and more of what he could do. And you can see his athleticism and his ability to translate to the National Football League rather easily. Again, you got to get better at the key parts of what you want to do. It's interesting when you watch any team, when you lose a member of your team in a way that it really hurts you, you got to find a way to make sure that doesn't happen again.
All right, it was an interesting weekend for him, especially because I thought they only had 10 picks, and I didn't think they were going to use all 10 picks.
I didn't either, and then they got 12. That's right.
All right, so we're going to hear more about that philosophy coming up a little bit more, too. We're going to hear from Coach Pettine and the newest members of the Cleveland Browns. So don't go anywhere. More Dog Pound Report live right after this.
Coming up next, Browns first-round draft picks Danny Shelton and Cameron Irving. From the draft stage to their first meetings in Berea, we were there. And later in the show, DPR sits down with coaches DeFilippo, O'Neal, Pettine, and general manager Ray Farmer.
Yeah, welcome back, Dog Pound. Danny Shelton and Cam Irving had one of the busiest and most exciting 24 hours of their lives. Our cameras were there to document every minute.
With the 12th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Danny Shelton. Yeah, baby.
Want to bring that physical presence, you know, bring that intimidation that the Dog Pound had. So I want to bring that, starting with this season.
With the 19th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Cameron Irving, guard, Florida State.
It feels great going into a situation like this, simply because, you know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to be able to learn from some of the best that are playing the game right now. And, what else can I ask for?
You guys got the best D tackle, Dog Pound. Can't wait to come out and be a part of your guys' team and family, you know. So go Browns, go Dog Pound.
Cleveland today. Play time should be about 45 minutes.
Looks good, man. I'm excited. Just trying to take everything in, man.
For real, man. It's crazy. Working towards this, I hope it'll happen.
That's going to be you right there. On your side right there.
What's up, Vince? Back at it, dude.
What's up, man? How you doing? Cam, how you doing?
What's up, coach?
You all right?
Cam, yeah.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too, man. Oh, you sizing me up now, man.
No.
How you doing? Sizing me up.
How are you? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. You
the man, baby.
What's up, Jim? How you doing? Kevin.
Oh, yeah, nice to meet you.
Proud of you, dog.
Appreciate it.
You all right, man? You're sitting in the dark.
That's
what
we said.
Good to see you again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thanks for making the call.
It's official now, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I'm great.
You know we didn't come here for no reason, right?
I know.
You know?
I see that.
Wow, what an exciting 24 hours for both of those guys. I mean, you really get a good look at what the life is like there, especially, I mean, the life isn't like it all the time when you're on private planes and limos to get to where you're going to, but, man, really, what a neat experience for those guys.
It's a transformative day. It's a day that they will never forget, and the Browns wore first class, rolled out the red carpet. While I was in the terminal at Midway, I saw another team in the AFC North that maybe used to be in Cleveland flying their guy on Southwest out there to their city. So it was good to see, and those guys so happy, and both of them knew they were coming to Cleveland ahead of time, which is what I think is kind of cool about how this all played out.
That was awesome. Really cool story, and I can't wait to see these guys because they just have so much energy.
They're going
to
be battling in practice all the time now.
Yeah, the fun part of the private planes is over. It's time now to move
forward. Get to work.
Get to work. All right, don't go anywhere, Dog Pound. We will be right back with more exclusive stuff from the draft.
Dog Pound, don't go anywhere. Coordinators DeFilippo and O'Neal break down your newest Browns and let you know how big of an impact they're going to make on this team.
Yeah, welcome back to our draft special Dog Pound Report. Joining us now is senior writer for the ClevelandBrowns.com, or ClevelandBrowns.com, is Andrew Gribble. Hey, this was your first shot at covering a Browns draft. You were like, how many picks are they going to have? They end up with 12.
Yeah, it kept me busy from start to finish, especially day three. It just seemed like it never ended. But the Browns got a lot better, added a lot of players to the roster, and then suddenly you look at it, this is a much more competitive team. Players are going to get better because of it.
All right, you have some great stuff on ClevelandBrowns.com right now, and you also have an exclusive interview with defensive coordinator Jim O'Neal. Here is part of that exclusive interview available only on ClevelandBrowns.com.
Drafting Danny Shelton's just a mammoth of a person inside, so anytime you add a guy that's going to force two guys to block him, it's going to free things up for other guys and keep those linebackers clean to the ball. I'm excited about Nate Orchard. As far as an edge rusher, and he also has a versatile skill set where he could potentially do some drop stuff, do some things in coverage for us. And then Xavier Cooper, the guy that we traded up to go get. He was a guy that I know we as a defensive staff thought very highly of, and we were shocked that he was there late in the third round. So it was an exciting 3 days for everybody.
It's not often you get a consensus All-American cornerback in the seventh round. Just kind of the special circumstances that got Ifo with the team.
Well, he's a guy we brought in for a visit, and just when you get around the kid, he's charismatic. He's all about football. He's one of us, and you just knew right away if there's somebody who can come back even stronger from the injury that he had during bowl practices, it's that kid. So for us to be able to get him with our last pick, and he's a guy that, without the injury, probably goes in the first round, was huge.
Well, I think that's been the MO of Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer since we got here. You know, they're gonna drive competition at every position group, and like I said earlier, you know, the more competition you have, the better it is for everyone.
Boy, Andrew, I got to tell you, I was just gonna say, if you're the defensive coordinator and you just got seven guys. I mean, how pumped are you?
Well, yeah, and especially when you look at those first three guys, all three are going to help you get better on that run defense. You know, Danny Shelton is just a massive guy. You can plug in at nose tackle, and then you heard it in his voice. They were shocked Xavier Cooper was there in the third round. They valued him very highly throughout the entire pre-draft process. You can maybe put him at the 5 or 3 technique. Suddenly, you're getting those injured guys back as well. Competition is going to be fierce at training camp.
Browns wanted to stop the run. You get Danny Shelton to do that. They wanted to get to the quarterback more effectively. You get Nate Orchard to do that. You address your two biggest needs. My question is, how are Anthony Weaver and Tony Tuiati going to figure out who to play on this line? Because now you've got Shelton, you bring in Cooper, you already had Phil Taylor, you've got Randy Starks, you've got Dez Bryant, you've got John Hughes, you've got Billy Winn, you've got Ishmaili Kitchen. I mean, this line all of a sudden is overwrought with talent, and there's going to be a lot of competition in that room.
Yeah, and at the same time, look at what happened last year. You have to bank on injuries. I mean, this is a physical sport, one of the most physical parts of the entire football field. So that's why you add all that depth, so you don't get in a situation where it was last year, where you maybe kind of throwing guys in that maybe aren't ready, for those circumstances. So now you look at Phil Taylor, Danny Shelton, Ish Kitchen in the middle. You feel good about that. And then at the 5-3, you just seem pretty loaded. So and then at the pass rusher situation as well wasn't addressed in free agency, but now you bring in Nate Dorchard, and all of a sudden Barkevious Mingo, he's healthy. You're expecting a big jump from him in year three. Scott Solomon finished strong. You just feel a lot better about that front seven going forward.
And these are some mature guys that they brought in as well. Nate Orchard married, and he's a guy that had 18 and a half sacks last year. And what I like the most is you look at how did he do against somebody that was picked or thought highly of. Andres Pete went 13th overall to New Orleans Saints. He had 3.5 sacks against him in that game against Stanford. Ate his lunch. So I think that bodes very well for his ability to get to the quarterback.
All right, you had a chance to talk to both sides of the ball, and you obviously went in and talked to John DeFilippo too as well. So let's hear the other side of the story when it comes to the Browns.
Yeah, I tell you, when you look at the five guys that we drafted, the versatility of that group really shows. I mean, they played a lot of different spots in the positions they were at in terms of the guys playing on the ball tight end, off the ball tight end, you know, playing different spots on the offensive line in terms of Cam Irving, center, guard, tackle. I mean, you don't have to project with those guys because you saw them do it on tape. So it's a really good group. Well, the thing about Duke is that, you know, the thing you notice first on tape is obviously his explosiveness and how he can run the football. But what's really undervalued with Duke, I think, are his hands. I tell you, he's great out of the backfield. He can, you know, run a choice route for you, and he can beat a linebacker or a DB one-on-one in a pass route. So I think, again, the versatility of our players that we drafted, I think, is going to show on the field. First, he's 6'2", okay, and he's a big body guy. So that's what we're really looking forward to, a guy that can play on the outside, win one-on-ones with smaller corners. And, you know, he was very, very productive at Washington State in a throwing offense, so he's been used to having a lot of balls come his way.
Andrew, versatility, that's what Flip said there. A lot of these guys can do a lot of things to help the Browns that they drafted on offense.
Well, it starts with Cam Irving because you don't just see many guys in the draft. You can play multiple positions, let alone five. And Cam Irving can really, truly do it all on the offensive line. We think he's maybe going to start at that right guard, potentially right tackle. But eventually, if Alex Mack opts out, you got an option at center as well. But it goes to Duke Johnson as well. He made some special plays on special teams at the beginning of his Miami career, focused on being the bell cow at the end. And he's a guy who can come in and catch passes out of the backfield, maybe work on special teams, and also carry the ball. They expect a lot out of him, even though he's maybe a smaller guy as well. Later rounds, you get a couple tight ends, but one of them, Malcolm Johnson, he can play some fullback. So just a lot of options to work with, and I think that we're going to maybe say versatility over and over again. You're going to get sick of hearing about it, but that's the key to this draft with offense.
All right, let's talk about what the fans might be talking about. They didn't draft a quarterback, and they only got one wide receiver. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Ray Farmer said it at his press conference last night. You know, they're more content with the quarterback situation than maybe some fans are. And really, they might have thought about drafting quarterback, but it just didn't make sense where they were looking for those guys. So a lot of talk about Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley before the draft, but it just didn't make sense where the Browns were picking. Vince Maley, he's a guy that maybe compares to Dwayne Bowe in the future, but he didn't play a lot of football. He's a former basketball player, but if he can make an impact, he can come and they'll give him snaps. But I think that this team is more content with what they have at wide receiver. Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe, Andrew Hawkins, those are three veterans they're going to count on, and they're pretty happy with them.
The Browns are better at wide receiver than they were a year ago, and Maley's a guy who's still learning. Really only his second year playing football, 106 catches, 1,483 yards, six 100-yard games, two over 250, the only guy in college football to do that last year, and the only guy in Pac-12 history to ever do that. So he's a moldable piece of clay. I've heard him compared by a former NFL scout who works for the Pac-12 Network to Anquan Boldin. Physical, tough, again, plays like a Brown. Talked about blocking in his initial press conference. You don't hear many wide receivers do that. And I think Duke Johnson, little Gio Bernard, Brian Westbrook to his game is going to be shifty and add something to this offense that they don't currently have with Crow and West.
All right, boys. Andrew, we'll make sure we'll read you on the mobile app as well, clevelandbrowns.com. So great stuff there. Really, it's just exclusive stuff. I could sit there for days and read everything you've had.
These guys were like the MVPs of the draft.
Go home and get some sleep.
Much needed. I'll be ready to do it.
Next year, maybe only 8 picks. How's that sound for you? 7 picks. All right, and stick around. We've got more. We're going to talk a little bit more about clevelandbrowns.com. And Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us from the Plain Dealer in cleveland.com as well. So plenty more coming up on this draft edition of the Dog Pound Report.
Dog Pound Report will be right back with head coach Mike Pettine, breaking down days 2 and 3 of the draft.
Coach Pett will share his thoughts on the success of the draft and look forward to the position competitions that lie ahead.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We've already covered round one, the rookies, and we've shown you a behind-the-scenes look at their first 24 hours as members of the Cleveland Browns. Now let's move on to those ever-important later rounds, and joining us in her Dog Pound Report debut is Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat reporter for the Northeast Ohio Media Group, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, you know the whole show. Welcome, Mary Kay. What'd you think of the draft?
Well, thanks, guys. Well, my first impression was I was waiting for them to try to trade up for Marcus Mariota. I kept thinking that there was a quarterback somewhere around the corner, Sam Bradford, Bryce Petty, someone. But when that never happened, I got over it. They really wowed and dazzled in this draft. Added 12 players, beefed up those lines. In the AFC North, they are going to dominate those lines of scrimmage, and that's what you really need to do. Then they added pieces and parts to fill in places, and they got some really dynamic players.
All right, Ray Farmer had plenty of things to say about those later rounds, so let's get to some of those comments about day two of the draft.
Each one's different. For us, you know, you take a look at who's available and kind of how the draft is going. And so from our perspective, you look at the second round move and it seemed like everybody was target shooting. People were trading up. So when people trade up a lot, it seems like they're more target shooting on, I have a specific guy that I want and I'm going to get him. So from that perspective, we felt better about certain guys making it to a certain point in the draft. So calculated risk. And thank God it worked out for us.
Yeah, just to explain what you saw in Nate Orchard. I know he's a guy you guys have been talking to back to the Senior Bowl.
He is a difference maker. The guy plays like a Brown. We talk about those attributes and relentlessness and toughness and competitive and accountable. I mean, the guy, when you watch the tape, he's all of those things and more. I mean, you watch the Senior Bowl tape, you watch his production at Utah. This is a guy that loves the game, plays the game like he loves the game, and so those are all attractive qualities for us.
What stood out to you about Duke Johnson when you watched the film?
Just the versatility in how he could play. The guy can run the football, he can catch it, he can block, he can return kicks and punts, and, you know, he's going to contribute to this roster in a variety of ways. I think it's interesting because the guys are short, and people tend to say he gets pigeonholed or pegged as a third down back, when in reality, from our mind, we feel this guy can do a little bit of everything.
Mary Kay, so on day two, you get Nate Orchard, 18 and a half sacks. You get Duke Johnson, who, believe it or not, for all the versatility talk, is the leading rusher in the history of the U. When you think about Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Edgerrin James, Frank Gore, that's pretty amazing. Then Xavier Cooper, the defensive tackle. How'd the Browns do on day two?
Well, you know, it was an exciting day two. The minute they picked Duke Johnson, I got a text from a high-level NFL executive that said, I love that running back, and you could tell that he was very jealous that the Browns got him. As far as Nate Orchard, if you go back and you look at his history, what I like about him and what I like about Danny Shelton is they've overcome adversity. They're passionate. They're hungry. This game means everything to them. So if you get a chance, really read a little bit about Nate Orchard's background. He ran away from home, a couple of different times, and he really loves this game now.
That's right.
And 18 and a half sacks, second in the country. Duke Johnson, again, like you said, he can catch passes out of the backfield. And then you move on to Xavier Cooper. When we talked to Vince Maley later, he said he's never seen a big man that can run that fast and is that athletic.
All right, so that was day two. Let's talk a little bit more about day three, because the team had a total of 12 picks. Here's what Mike Pettine had to say about the third day.
We were very excited as a staff, because if you go back and kind of look at our pre-draft notes and just kind of getting a feel for different rounds and where we thought we might be picking the players we targeted, we got a lot of them. And the players we got, there is a common theme that they're all competitive, productive, tough guys. So we're you don't want to say thrilled, but cautiously optimistic about this draft class. We're looking forward to them getting here and getting them out on the field. We had a better sense of what we're looking for. So I think when we identified guys this year that we got a chance to interact with them, and I thought we did an outstanding job of the draft preparation. That Ray and the rest of the personnel staff was very much on the same page with the coaches as far as what we were looking for. You want to always keep churning that roster and bringing guys in here to compete, and we're going to play the best players regardless of how they were acquired.
Now, we thought when the Browns came in this draft with 10 picks, maybe they'd pick seven players. Well, they picked seven on day three, Mary Kay. What do you think about the haul, including the wide receiver that they brought in on day three?
Well, you know what? I thought I was back in the expansion era where the Browns had 14 picks in 1999 and 14 picks again in 2000, and they just kept coming. But the good thing about day three is they filled a lot of needs, and they did some very, very interesting things here. Charles Gaines, the more I studied up on Charles Gaines, the cornerback who has good production out of Louisville, he was supposed to go in the second or third round. He's another one of those guys, overcame a ton of adversity. He had some suspensions and things in his past. He's turned it around, and football means everything to them. This was a theme in this draft, I think, guys like that that are so passionate about this game. And then other guys like Hayes Pullard, the linebacker from USC, he wrote an open letter to NFL GMs and coaches 2 days before the draft, telling all about himself. And if you get a chance to read that letter, it's pretty cool. And then you move all the way to the seventh round, and Ifo, I'm not going to try to say the rest of it, but Ifo is a guy that if he can come back from this torn ACL, and it's like Charles Johnson, you can get a starting player the following year.
Yeah, you got a red shirt, and this is a guy who would have been a first or second round pick. If he came out last year, he might have been a first round pick. That's what this, when you have those picks at the end, this is a steal. This could be the best pick in the whole draft.
Mary, let me just bring this up, because when the Browns make a trade in the first round, it's huge news. 12 picks this year. And I think when you don't make those trades in the first round, everybody goes, oh, that guy's a genius. Isn't it? It's amazing what public perception is.
Well, yeah, that is absolutely true. But the thing that stands out to me about this draft is that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine really were in lockstep this draft.
Oh, yeah.
When you go back to last year, they were all kind of hastily thrown together. Ray wasn't exactly sure what Mike Pettine was looking for or the other coaches. They got the coaches involved early this time, and they were all on the same page, and they are very excited about these 12 players.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you so much. We will read you on Cleveland.com and in the Plain Dealers Hall. Thanks for being here today. We're going to be right back.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, see what Cameron Irving told us on the gold carpet minutes before he officially became a Brown. And don't miss this fan's once-in-a-lifetime trip to Chicago for a memorable jersey handoff to Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us, a man who has an intimate knowledge of what these draftees have gone through over the last couple of days. Back from Chicago is Matt Wilhelm. How weird was it for you to be on the gold carpet interviewing players rather than being the guy that gets interviewed?
First of all, it's good to be here, and it was great to interview those guys. It really was, just to get an inside look at what those guys, what was going through their mind just before they were going to hear their name called.
And by the way, a lot of people were congratulating him on his night. They still
thought I was a player.
So he can still pass for 22, so that's pretty good.
All kinds of autographs for you. All right, so you talked to our first-round draft picks on the gold carpet on Thursday. Here's an awesome look inside that moment.
I'm here with Cameron Irving. Cam, what's going through your mind right now?
Just excitement. I'm just ready to see what's going on, what's going to happen, how this draft's going to unfold, and, you know, see where all the rest of these guys and myself is going.
What are your expectations as a rookie in the National Football League?
I'm a competitor, so I want to come in and I want to compete for playing time as soon as I get there, regardless of where I go. I want to come in and just continue to be a student of the game. I want to continue to learn and just be the best football player that I can be.
What would it mean to be a Cleveland Brown?
It'd be tremendous. I love it. I love any team who draft me, but it'd be definitely great to be a Brown.
All right, Matt, it was obvious that Cameron was really excited to be there the night when he heard, and then when he was in the building on Friday, he was telling people about how humbled he was. Just your thoughts.
He really was, and Cam was a good kid. He was excited. You know, you could see him light up when I said the Cleveland Browns, knowing that we drafted at 12 and 19, and also, too, he mentioned that he had been in touch with Danny Shelton, knowing that the Browns liked him as well, and the fact that they could be future teammates in just a matter of hours was a really cool deal.
Yeah, once we talked to him after, he's like, I could finally let the secret out. He's like, I knew I was coming to the Browns.
It's just, I can't imagine what that feeling is like for those guys. All of a sudden, you know, you're an E! Entertainment reporter out there. These guys are walking down a gold carpet. There's got to be all kinds of butterflies. I mean, you know the feeling of before your name gets pulled. What is that like?
Well, absolutely, especially for, you know, a young man like him from the South or Danny from being out West. Their life is going to change coming to a city like Cleveland with a fan base like no other to become a part of a culture that the Cleveland Browns are renovating, you know, right in front of our eyes. They're going to be a big part of that.
How about Cleveland? I mean, just being here, I know you touched on that, but look, you're a guy that played in the NFL. You're from here. You came back home because you want to live here. Now these guys get integrated into our city.
It's great. And you could hear that in their interviews, their excitement about being a Cleveland Brown and their role, first and foremost, on this team. But diving into this community and elation that they're a Cleveland Brown simply because there are a few places across the country that you don't want to play football in.
Cleveland was one of them for both of these two guys.
They want to come here, and they know how big the Dog Pound is, how passionate it is, and they're excited to come here, I think, and be a part of that rabid fan base and help turn this thing around. If you come to Cleveland and are a part of turning this team around, you're going to be like a god among men in this town.
You are getting a statue.
That's right.
All right. One fan had a very, very memorable draft night. His name is Alan Domes, and he and his brother got to deliver the round one jersey to Commissioner Roger Goodell. Here's their story.
My name is Alan Domes. I've been a season ticket member for 10 years and a fan my entire life.
My name's Scott Domes. Been a fan my entire life.
I won this NFL draft experience using my season ticket member benefit card. I just had the experience of a lifetime. I was able to be backstage at the NFL draft for the first round, and I was able to carry out the Browns jersey out to the commissioner right before our first pick.
I got to hand the jersey off to Roger Goodell as well for Cameron Irving.
Yesterday, whenever we landed, just kind of relaxed, had a pleasant day, just kind of like seeing some sights around Chicago. Actually went up and caught a little bit of the Cubs game before it got too cold. Then we got up this morning, and it's just been like go, go, go all day. We actually got to have breakfast with Roger Goodell this morning. Got to walk backstage and see a lot of the stuff here before everything started taking place. So that was kind of cool. And then had a Legends Luncheon. Man of the Year, the last four guys to win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Getting to hear what the NFL does and what they do to help their communities is pretty cool.
I'm actually really excited for the draft picks that we actually got. I mean, I know it might not be the big wide receiver, the flashy quarterback that a lot of people were hoping for, but they're pieces that we need. So hopefully it solidifies the offensive line and helps put some depth there at the defensive line so become a better team. This was an experience of a lifetime for anyone. It was everything that you would think of, like being backstage and getting to see guys getting drafted, how they print up the jerseys and how quickly everything flows. There's just people running around all over the place. It was just an experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, Chicago turned out to be a great venue, that draft town. They said 200,000 people over the course of 3 days. The weather on Saturday was actually perfect. It was a little cold before that, but we had the Red Ivy Browns Backers Bar where we did a live Browns Daily. It was a fun weekend and a good venue.
It definitely was. I know Commissioner Roger Goodell was extremely excited on how the entire weekend went there in Chicago, but Browns fans were out in full force, and everybody agreed. Those were great two picks.
All right, that was awesome. Public Hall, by the way, was awesome here, and I think they made a great statement to the league if they ever wanted to have it here. We have a lot more to come up with, Matt, so stay tuned for more Dog Pound Report.
Don't go anywhere, Dog Pound. When we come back, we sit down for an exclusive interview with both General Manager Ray Farmer and Head Coach Mike Pettine. They'll answer where the pre-draft hype came from and break down the newest members of your Cleveland Browns.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. The fans certainly thought the Browns made some great picks in the draft. Here's what Ray Farmer and Coach Pettine had to say about how they view the 2015 draft.
I feel really good about the draft. I feel like we did a good job of sticking to the plan, finding guys that we liked, and taking advantage of the opportunities that we had. We took some calculated risks, but we got a lot of good football players that our entire staff, our coaching staff, our scouts, all agreed on a lot of the players that we brought in. The play like a Brown mantra has kind of been said since Pett and I came together. And at the end of the day, it's a big part of how we do what we do. Play like a Brown is really who we want to be. It speaks of who we are as almost, you know, a culture, as a football team, who we are and the players that we scout. And so as we look at it in totality, we tried to bring in players that elicited all those qualities. And I think we did a good job of finding guys that we're going to be competitive, relentless, productive, accountable. And I think we accomplished that.
All right, boys, we know this is a numbers game. You just picked up 12 new guys. How many of these guys can legitimately make the squad going into next year?
Again, a few of them were drafted with injuries, so they're going to have that redshirt year, as you mentioned prior in the show. They might be on that PUP, injured reserve, start the season that way. But I think they went out and got the guys that they wanted, and it's going to add competition to this locker room. And I think 9 of these 12 could potentially make this team. And also, too, it puts a lot of those veterans that might have been comfortable in their position rooms on watch.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of competition. This training camp is going to be fun to watch because you're going to have so many guys come in. And when you look at what they did, they addressed their needs, but they also addressed needs that aren't quite there yet. You get an inside linebacker out of USC because maybe Carlos Dansby won't be here in a few years. You get a strong safety out of Northwestern and Campbell that they love. That's who they were actually trading up to get, not Bryce Petty, because Dante Whitner might not be here in a couple of years. So I think it was smart. These guys are going to have homes. They're going to have an opportunity to learn from people ahead of them. I think a lot of these guys are going to make this team. And the one guy I really like from day three, Malcolm Johnson, I think this is a guy. You heard John DeFilippo say, I want to find my Marcel Reese, guy who can play fullback, who can line up as an H-back, who can flex out as a tight end. This kid fits that bill, very versatile. I think this is going to be fun to watch.
All right, I've got a feeling I got a preview of your radio show for the next couple days. So, Matt, thank you very much. We always appreciate your
time.
My
pleasure.
And we will listen to you on ESPN 850, Cleveland Browns Daily. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back, Dog Pound. The new rookies took to social media to proclaim their draft excitement. Stay right here for more Dog Pound Report.
Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
Yes,
sir.
It happened, man.
It's happening. Cleveland. Yes, sir.
Cleveland.
Yep.
So now you know what it feels like to sit at a table for a guy who's going to get drafted in the first round. That was Danny Shelton as he got the call from the Cleveland Browns and was officially drafted with the first pick. I got to tell you the one thing about Danny Shelton, and we've been saying it for months, you've got a guy that can stop the run. I can't wait to watch him mature as a guy that they feel comfortable with using on third down.
As soon as he got past Chicago at 7, I was very happy. That's who I had going to the Browns at 12 all along. That's who I wanted. The big man in the middle, take up double teams. He made 16 and a half tackles for loss last year, 9 sacks. He can make big plays, 5 fumble recoveries, and he goes sideline to sideline. He really does. For a guy that size to make as many plays as he does from number to number on the field is incredibly impressive. He wants to come in here and compete. He's tough. He's physical. He's exactly what this team need after being run on pretty much at will with the last-ranked run defense in the NFL.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about what happened this weekend. Cameron Irving also made a big splash with Cleveland fans. He went to the Indians game on his first night here in Cleveland. Fans definitely and certainly appreciated the good karma he brought to the Indians. All right, Nathan, what do you think about Cleveland getting ready to embrace these new group, this new group of rookies?
Of course they're ready. These guys are the toast of the town right now. It's always fun. You get these guys in, you're excited. Both are excited to be in Cleveland, I'm speaking of the first rounders. And I think that's important, too, and Clevelanders can feel that from hearing them talk after they were drafted. Everybody's ready to embrace them. Now we're ready to see them get on the field, work, start helping control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and help this team win football games.
All right, what was your reaction on Friday from the fans? Because I know the fans that we talked to on Friday were very much upbeat, very much positive. And for me, when I use the word solid on this draft, it's not just about the draft picks. It's about Jimmy Haslam. It's about Mike Pettine. And it's about Ray Farmer. This was a solid draft. And it showed to me, and I think to a lot of fans, that they're on the same page.
There's no question. They put their stamp on this draft. This is going to be a tough, physical football team that's going to focus on winning at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. They do that in the first round. Fans were very happy. I think some people would have been thrilled if at number 19, maybe it was a wide receiver. But Cam Irving, I think, has won people over. And you understand the versatility, the protection for the future, plus the immediate impact he can make. And, yeah, this is a team that's going to play in the AFC North with playing tough, tough defense. And I think they have a chance now to be one of the top three Ds in the NFL. And then they're going to come out and they're going to control the line of scrimmage as one of the best offensive lines in the league and run the football.
All right, Nathan, what happens next for these guys? We have rookie minicamp and their transition from going from college guy, wanted player in the NFL to now guys that are just going to have to be bring their lunch pail to work with them.
You got to show me. It starts with the rookie minicamp, getting acclimated. Then you get in the OTAs with the veterans, and the veterans are going to test you. They're going to say, what are you going to bring to this team? And if you go out there and do what Joel Bitonio did and show them right away you're the guy, you're going to fit in very easily and be very accepted in that locker room.
All right, just your overview of Chicago, because we know this thing's going to travel from city to city. I would hope, and based on what we saw at Public Hall the other night, it looks like if Cleveland ever had the chance to host this thing, I know you got to battle with Canton a little bit, but if Cleveland ever had a chance to host, I think it'd be pretty awesome.
It would be great. Keep it right here. It'd be nice for the travel, but I thought Chicago was great, and having that draft town was a nice addition.
All right, Nathan, thank you so much.
It was
always a great week. Fun to do it live,
yeah,
my friend.
Man. I like it. Let's do it live.
All right, we'll be back in our regular time slot next week. Until then, take us home, my brother.
We bark together on the Dog Pound Report. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the sun.
Nice. Let's go. Yeah.